We did it. It's Friday.
Woo-hoo! What other band would you like to hear cover this song? Is there a band that you go, oh, I would love to hear somebody's take on this?
Panic at the Disco.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? For some reason, I keep thinking Nine Inch Nails, but I think I may switch over to Panic at the Disco.
No, I'm switching to Nine Inch Nails. I don't even know what
Nin! Nin!
I don't even know what Panic at the Disco is.
Wendy. It sounds like you've given up on music. Don't say that. You gotta know who today's hot stars are.
That's not hot to me.
I'm recording with Tyga right when we're done today. We bought some studio time. We're gonna lay
at
down
R. Kelly's
some,
place. Yeah. Gotta do it before 9 p.m.
They said if we're not done by 9, show's over. So we gotta hurry up.
Jasmine, you looked at me funny. Who do you think should remake the
Booba Booba Boo song?
I thought you were gonna say Maroon 5.
Oh God,
they would be great.
They would suck,
Wendy.
They
would auto-tune
suck.
It. They would auto-tune Babu Babu.
You can't auto-tune that.
I would love to hear it.
Who is Ima Sumac? Because a lot of people still
original.
Ask us. It's Amy backwards and then Sumac. Like a poison sumac.
Yeah. Oh, that was intimidating.
Bill has me on a project. You are dying to know who Jay Farrow is dating.
I would like to know. We had Jay Farrow. For people who didn't hear, we had Jay Farrow on during our regular business hours from 10 to noon. And he confided in us on air that he is currently dating somebody in show business who is of Indian descent, but would not disclose any further information.
Which I respect immensely.
Yes.
She's also in the biz. Did you mention that?
Yeah. She's a performer. How did he word it? Did he say she's... I think I asked if she's in show business, and he nodded and said yes. But he wouldn't go into specifics as to what exactly she did.
He said she was in the business. I assumed she's an actress.
Right. A staffer here at WGN made a guest, Mindy Kaling, but we don't believe that that's true because Mindy has a baby, and we asked Jay if he had a child, and he said no.
And he wasn't quite ready yet to have
right.
one.
This is like a game of Clue.
Although we don't know who Mindy Kaling's baby daddy is. I don't care, but I guess...
Some have guessed... That it's former co-star BJ Novak, who she dated for quite a long time.
Oh, they dated
off.
In real life?
Yeah, they dated in real life. That has been a constant guess, but she won't confirm or deny. How am I going to be this generation's Rona Barrett if I don't know these things? I need to know these things.
Well, you seem very interested in this.
I'm curious as to who it is.
Well, of course. Everybody's curious, but
sure.
At some point, you got to let people's private life be their private life.
I give him credit, though, because in the world of show business... It's very hard to keep a secret. If you're romantically involved with somebody, word gets out. There's TMZ type publications and shows, and they follow you around. And if you're having a dinner with somebody, they snap pictures and they run it the next day. But Jay Farrow, formerly of Saturday Night Live, now of A Million Little Things, he's been able to keep this quiet.
He was only on one episode of A Million Little Things.
Here's what I got the feeling, that they introduced his character in the last version and that in the upcoming season he'll play a more prominent role. That seemed to be where he was heading
with
that.
I can't find
it. You don't know.
I can't find it. I do know his name is Jared Antonio Farrow. Like F-A, like
he
Mia
changed
Farrow.
His spelling. Yeah.
Yeah.
F-A-R-R-O-W, is that his
yeah.
original spelling?
Yeah, and he went from Jared to J-A-Y.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't find it.
That's all right.
He's from
we'll
Chesapeake,
work on other,
Virginia.
Yeah. We'll work on other crimes. We'll solve other crimes.
The internet is failing me right
now. Did Scooby-Doo and the gang only solve one mystery at a time? Yes. The answer is yes. They only did.
Yeah, they could not multitask.
And how did they get paid?
Weed.
That would make a lot of sense,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't it? Has there ever been a cartoon character... more than Shaggy that you know is smoking dope? There's no question that Shaggy... They never show it, but there's no way in the world that Shaggy's not on the dope.
Thank you, Gramps.
Like Scoob, I hope they don't show this on TV. There's no question. When you see him, when you hear him, he's always eating. He's always got a big, giant sandwich that he's sharing with a dog.
I know, but the Scooby snacks, see, this bothers me because there were people in high school that may have blown their hit of weed into their dog's face, which I always hated And then I would, of course, stand in front of the dog because it was just stupid. There were people that did that to get their dog high.
Don't do that.
But Scooby's got to be high if he's eating the Scooby snacks.
I believe that Scooby may have been the one to turn Shaggy onto the dope.
Scooby's the dealer in this?
I didn't say dealer, but provider. I don't think he charges. Shaggy and Scooby have been friends forever, but I do think that they share.
And who's going to frisk the dog?
No one's going to frisk the dog.
The dog should be the drug-sniffing dog.
Right.
Is that how he got into it? He sniffed it one too
many
times?
I don't know the origin story, but is there any question that Shaggy for sure, and maybe Shaggy and Scooby, are both smoking the dope? Come on.
I don't have any doubts.
Hanna-Barbera, you can't hide that from us. We know better than that. Wendy, on Sunday, the Oscars will be presented to us. The 91st Annual Academy Awards.
I don't know if I'm going to watch.
You're just going to avoid the whole program?
No.
It's 4 hours of solid entertainment.
But see, that's 4 hours that I'll never get back.
You can say that about anything.
But if you're enjoying it, then you don't say that.
You don't want your hours back. But whatever you do, whether you love it, hate it, or are indifferent towards it, it's time you won't get back. You can't cash in your hours at the end of the week and get credit.
But it's so bad. I like to watch it when I can fast forward through boring parts, which is going to be a lot.
I don't think I've ever missed it from the time I was like four.
That's you, though, Bill.
When I was three, I didn't want to see it. My mom said at three, let's watch the Academy Awards. And I said, I'm good. I'll watch it with you next year.
Did you really watch it since you've been four?
Since I was a little kid, yeah.
Well, your parents were into the whole entertainment thing,
yes,
too.
Very
and there wasn't much else on to compete with it back then.
Right. There's that.
Now, there's so much, like The Walking Dead.
You know, right.
I can't wait. Somebody's going to spoil it, so I can't wait till the next day for that. The Oscars can be spoiled. I don't care.
The word will get out by the next day. I always liked, even as a little kid, when they would pay tribute to somebody. I remember as a little kid, they paid tribute to Charlie Chaplin. And up until he walked out, the Charlie Chaplin in my head was the Charlie Chaplin from silent films. So it's not that I understood he was going to be older, but I was waiting for a very thin man with a very small mustache and a cane and a top hat. And then an old big guy came out and I went, but that's not Charlie Chaplin. But it was Charlie Chaplin. It was just, now that said, I love the fact that they paid tribute to him and he got a huge, I still remember, I wasn't four for that when I was probably 10 or 11, the year he got his special Academy Award. But I do remember the audience going wild for him because he was so absent from Hollywood for so many years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there he was again.
I remember this.
John Wayne, who's been in the news, I remember when he got his tribute.
Charlie Chaplin?
Yeah. Are you looking at
1972? Does that sound about right?
1972. So I was 9 years old. What did I say, 10 or 11? I was 9, and they run a retrospect of his best film moments, and then he comes out to speak, and Hollywood gave him that huge standing ovation that seemed like it lasted for 4 minutes. It couldn't have lasted that long, but it just seemed to go on and on and on, and his words were very eloquent, and he talked about his years in Hollywood and stuff.
You want to hear it?
Yeah. You have it?
It looks like he's crying.
He was crying. Let's he was see. Definitely crying.
All these buttons are...
All right.
The crowd is going wild.
It's the first time, by the way, I think I ever heard him speak.
Good point.
I don't think I ever heard him talk before that night.
He's not the thin,
the rail thin Charlie Chaplin that I was accustomed to.
He's walking up to the podium.
See what I mean? That applause just went on for and so well deserved.
He's blowing kisses. He's looking around in amazement.
Yeah. Well, he said he wasn't sure how Hollywood was going to receive him after being away for so long.
A young Lloyd Bridges in the front row.
How young? Like 5?
No. Oh. This is 72, but way younger than...
And later years, Lloyd Bridges.
Here we go. Hang on. He can't even talk.
Listen, we've been playing this tape over a minute already, and he hasn't even said a word yet.
Here we go.
Thank you so much.
Oh, bummer.
Today, I consider myself so.
And words seem so futile.
So British?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Say
yeah, he's British.
Thank you for the honor of inviting me here. And, oh, you're wonderful, sweet people. Thank you.
Sounded a little like Alfred Hitchcock.
Hmm.
A British one.
Hitchcock had
more. Oh, yeah, I guess.
He had he always had like a clog in his valves.
That's right.
I don't know what it was about Alfred Hitchcock.
He's British?
Yeah.
I mean, I had no idea.
You didn't think so?
I know you didn't know Steve Winwood was British,
but I didn't know
Charlie Chaplin.
I didn't know Prince Charles was British.
Yes, you did.
That was a surprise.
You're a liar there.
That shocked me.
Well, this was Charlie Chaplin's Honorary Award. Thank you.
That's what they say in England. They
1972.
Call it that.
Yeah. The Oscars.
Yeah. But I did like, and they still do it, they bring out a legend who has spent their life making some contribution to the movies. And even as a little kid, that touched me.
I like that, except there are two words that I have to say that shouldn't have happened.
Uh-oh.
Kirk Douglas.
Oh, no, it should definitely have happened.
I felt so sorry for him.
Well, despite the fact that he has had a stroke and it's really affected his speech, and at this point he's 102.
I know, but just to go through the crowds and get there and go through I just felt bad for him. It is a lot.
But don't you think, like, the trade-off is
he should have been honored, yeah.
He's been in movies for 60 years, you know, he's made some amazing films over the years, so yeah, it's going to be and if it's tough for you to watch, it's tougher for him to do. I mean, to be mobile and to talk. So I don't know who's getting that award this year. I only pray it's not Kevin Hart, Wendy. I pray it's not Kevin Hart.
Totally 100% will not be.
Will there be any mention of Kevin Hart during the Academy Awards? Do you think there will be?
Yes.
Somebody will make a joke out of it?
If the surprise host is Whoopi Goldberg, I bet she comes out and says, "Hi, I'm Kevin Hart." And then
that's
just gets it in, get it out,
and play it.
Done.
That's interesting.
Or I am not Kevin Hart, but something I feel she's going to mention right away.
Oh, that's interesting. See, that's where you know if there is a host, that has to be playing in their head. Do I mention this? It's the very small elephant in the room. It's the baby elephant in the room. Do I mention it or do I leave it alone? But without a host, all that's up for grabs. We don't know what to expect. They're not the boys and queen aren't going to sing about it.
That's true. Boy, that would be good.
How interesting is this? A host that would have hosted the show is not hosting because of a controversy involving the gay rights movement. And then you have a band whose movie played right into it with Freddie Mercury. They're opening the show. So I guess was that part of their way of fixing things?
I don't know that they have to fix anything.
They don't have to fix anything.
But
was it the Academy's way of saying, look, Kevin Hart was kind of anti...
Right, but so there's no way he could have done it, because would they have gone from Queen right into him?
Right.
What would he have said?
Right, right. Would they have shown him with earmuffs on, covering his ears? I'm not listening to that band.
You know what he uses as earmuffs?
What?
Q-tips.
Oh, no.
Now you got me sucked in. And wasn't Dumbo little baby elephant?
Dumbo was, yeah. Okay. Well, in the beginning of Dumbo, he's a baby elephant.
Oh, he grows?
He gets bigger.
Well, spoiler
alert. You never saw Dumbo? Did you know he was British?
No.
Yeah, he's from Gloucester. All right.
Where?
Gloucester in the UK.
Gloucester.
Yeah, he's from there. All right. Here's a bunch of unforgettable moments from the Academy Awards. See how many of these it says they're unforgettable, Wendy, so you will know all of these because you can't forget them. Do you remember the time in 1973 when Marlon Brando said no thank you please to his Academy Award?
No.
He was given the Academy Award. I'm not reading this. I know this. He was, of course, the winner for The Godfather. He said that because of the treatment of Native Americans in in the films,
I do
he would not accept it, and so he sent up a woman named Sachin Littlefeather.
Yeah, okay.
Now, later on, we came to learn that Sachin Littlefeather was
not,
of Mexican heritage.
Yes.
She was not a Native American Indian.
But the key is, did he know that?
I don't know that he knew that. I don't know if he ever knew that or not. But it was quite a moment because he was the odds-on favorite to win the Academy Award. He did win it, and then he's a no-show, and the place went up for grabs. Do you remember in 1974, when a streaker went on stage. Were you watching then?
Yes. But now this says that the woman refused Marlon Brando's Oscar.
She did.
Oh, okay. He went to give it to her.
No. The plan was, and this is what happened, instead of anyone I'm trying to remember who eventually walked away with it, or if they just left it up on the stand there. But he wasn't there. She went up. She made a speech. She read a speech about how Marlon doesn't feel it's right because of the treatment that Native Americans have had in American films over the years, and then did not walk away with it.
Okay, yeah. He wasn't there to accept it. Little Feather took the stage when Moore tried to hand it to him. I don't know who Moore. Was it Roger Moore that was presenting it? When Moore tried to hand her the Oscar, she held her hand up and politely refused it.
It was either Roger Moore, Dudley Moore, Julianne Moore, or Dinty Moore. Do you remember who it was?
No, who's the one?
Dennis Moore.
Going through the land.
Dennis Moore from Monty Python.
Yes.
He was there. They were all there.
Moore Moores.
Mary Tyler Moore was there.
Roger Moore. It was Roger Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Wow.
All right, now my attention's back to you.
All right, so in 1974, David Niven was about to introduce Elizabeth Taylor when a man named Robert Opel ran across the stage without his clothes on. David Niven's way of handling it was to say, isn't it fascinating to think that probably the only laugh that man will ever get in life is by stripping off and showing his shortcomings? That got huge.
It was pretty funny
response.
It was really funny, yeah. And very quick of him.
Yeah.
Unless it was a ruse and he planted the streaker there.
People have suggested not that he did it, but that the Academy did it to get people talking.
It got people talking.
Many people have suggested that over the years, that they were in on the joke, that they knew exactly what they were doing. Here's a low light, an all-time Oscar low light. Rob Lowe on stage singing a duet with Snow White.
I remember that. It was stupid.
Awful. And I like Rob Lowe.
I do, too.
And I like Snow White. I just don't like them together. The entire 11-minute performance shows Disney princess Snow White attending the Academy Awards. Was incredibly weird for people to watch. Yes, it was. What was even weirder was when actor Rob Lowe appeared on stage to sing a duet with the princess. Lowe opened up to the New York Times about the debacle in 1992, saying, look, the Academy asked me to take that role, so I was a good soldier, and I did it. You can't be your own manager and agent and soothsayer. You have to take risks. And on that one, I got shot in the foot. I'm trying to remember what song they sang. I want to say it was Proud Mary.
No.
No? What song did they sing? I can't remember, but I do remember seeing it and just going, this isn't good for anybody. Who was hoping this would happen, that Rob Lowe and Snow White would sing a song together? Who in their wildest dreams went, then you got a show? You got Rob Lowe? Yeah. You got Snow White? Will they sing together? Now you got a show. People will love it.
Yeah, I don't know what the song was. The campy live number arranged and conducted by Marvin Hamlisch was as over-the-top as the man who masterminded it, Grease producer Alan Carr.
Alan Carr is a Chicagoan, by the way.
Well, he's from here. That was the last time he ever did something with the...
Wow, with the Academy? Yeah.
I only have eyes for you.
That's what they sang?
Really? Yeah, that's what it's.
I remember in my head.
22-year-old aspiring actress named Eileen Bowman.
She was Snow White.
She played Snow White alongside Rob Lowe in a musical debacle. She instantly found a place in Oscar infamy. As a costume-clad Bowman made her way through the Shrine Auditorium, chirping a high-pitched take on I Only Have Eyes for You, and greeting such mortified stars in the audience as Tom Hanks, Dustin Hoffman, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Sigourney Weaver, it quickly became obvious that Carr had laid a dinosaur-sized egg.
Whenever they showed any of the stars you just mentioned, you had the same look on all their faces, which was, what the hell is this? Every single time, whoever they showed, even Tom Hanks, the most likable man in show business, had this look of, oh, this isn't good. This is not good.
Right.
And the girl who played Snow White got off kind of easily because nobody knew who she was then or now. But Rob Lowe, people recognized Rob Lowe. They knew who he was.
Yeah.
So all he could do was lose.
He recovered.
Yeah, he did fine.
I don't know about Alan Carr.
No longer with us.
Oh.
He died a few years ago.
Rest in peace.
Yes. All right, we'll take a quick break. Kim will give you the news, and then more of the Oscar moments that you are not allowed to forget.
Which is part of What's Hot and What's Cold today, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
A lot of sex gone wrong in your news today,
Kim. Lot.
A lot.
I kind of feel like E.T.
Yes. Phone home, Kim. Not that E.T.
Not that E.T.
Not that E.T. We're talking about the Academy Awards, which will be on Sunday, the 91st Annual Academy Awards, host-free, unless Whoopi Goldberg surprises us. That's the big rumor in Hollywood.
Is that the rumor?
That's the rumor, and she has not been on The View this week. Or maybe she was on Monday. She's not been on the last several days.
You would know that.
It's my job to keep track of who's on The View and who isn't, so that throws more fuel on the fire. Hey, wait a minute. She's not on The View. Where is she? I don't know.
What do you think about that?
I think that'd be cool.
I'm whoopied out, gotta be honest with you.
Are you, yeah?
No more whoopee left in me.
Oh, where's your whoopee factor, Wendy? That's not good.
I don't know. I mean, she's fine.
And you don't even watch The View, so you're not overdosing on whoopee there. Which, by the way, in the credits, all the other people, all the other hostesses of The View use first and last names. She has now, for the last year, only gone with whoopee. No more Goldberg in there.
So maybe she feels like if Oprah can do it,
she can do it.
Listen,
yeah.
There's no
Tarzan.
How many other Whoopies are there? I mean, be honest. She doesn't need to use her last name.
I can't name another Whoopi off.
All right, then.
What if, though, all of the different past Oscar hosts came back? Like, what if Billy Crystal did a part?
I would love that.
That would be great.
Chris Rock.
You know, all the different hosts came and just did one little piece of the puzzle.
I'd be fine with that.
I would love that.
I want there to be a host because that's my favorite part of it is seeing that. And now
Billy
that's
Crystal,
gone.
All his little
so good.
Skits that he does
so
with all the
good.
Movies.
Yeah. And his song, What a Wonderful Night for Oscar.
Yeah.
You need that. That's what we need. All right, we're talking about the moments, the best Oscar moments of all time, if you like awkwardness.
And I do.
Everybody does. James Cameron and his weird quote during his acceptance speech for Titanic. Do you remember it?
Vaguely.
He shouted out at the end of his speech, I'm the king of the world.
Oh, yeah,
just like they did in the... And then everybody went,
all right. For 5 minutes.
Right.
It's all right. I didn't take offense to that, really.
It wasn't offensive. It was just weird.
I'm okay with weird, though.
Yeah.
It makes you stand out and be memorable.
But I thought it was more coming off of a couple years prior, Sally Field did the thing where she said, you like me, you really like me. And this was even more grandiose, the way he just went, I'm the king of the world. And everybody went,
that.
But they said that
Sally
in the
Field
movie.
Thing. I thought that was so real and
thought
raw.
That was fine, too.
Yeah.
Be a little vulnerable. Don't take for granted the fact that you're going to win an Oscar. Right, I agree.
One of those on there is when someone was in the bathroom or something. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Meryl Streep? She was supposed to win an award.
There have been a couple of times where whoever's supposed to win, I can't remember, was it Meryl Streep? I don't remember that, if it was Meryl Streep or not.
And Jennifer Lawrence tripped up the stairs.
She did that a few years ago, just a few short years ago. Do you remember what Roberto Benigni did when he won his Academy Award in 1999?
That's an amazing movie, by the way. But
Life is
beautiful.
Yeah,
I don't remember what he did.
He walked over the seats instead of walking down the aisle to get to the stage. He just kept walking over the seats.
And that's okay, right?
That's great. I loved it. The Italian actor and director. Who I have to say, like when he was done with that, because I had seen him in things prior to that, and he was okay. Like he was in one of the Pink Panther movies, you know, after Peter Sellers died and Blake Edwards said, even though we lost Peter Sellers, we're going to keep making Pink Panther movies. Mm-hmm. We'll find another guy. He used Ted Wass from Soap, remember?
Oh, yeah.
That didn't work. He used Roberto Benigni. He used clips of Peter Sellers prior to his death. He patched together a bunch of those and made a Pink Panther movie that was horrible. So I had seen Roberto Benigni before, and then this movie came out, Life is Beautiful, and I went, well, this guy's going to be a huge deal now. You know, after this, he's going to make great movies forever.
Not so
what
much.
Happened?
That
he did
was
a Pinocchio, did a version of Pinocchio. That wasn't real good. What else did I see? I saw him in something else that was just okay. But yeah, he really hit lightning with Life is Beautiful.
I went to that movie not knowing what it was about.
Oh, it was great.
And it was
so good.
It took
so
quite
moving.
A turn.
Yeah. I have not seen it, I don't think.
Do you remember when Angelina Jolie shared a kiss.
Oh, I thought you were going to
somebody
say shared a sandwich.
Shared a sandwich and a kiss. Somebody
yes,
would not expect.
Her brother.
Her brother Jamie.
That was weird.
That was
that
weird.
We were working together then. What year was that?
That was in 2000.
That was super weird, and that really bothered you.
Yeah. Because
was
of
it
the,
just a peck on the cheek?
It was
a makeout.
Pretty passionate kiss.
It was really gross.
Yeah.
It was just. It was so
more
weird.
More weird than the Miley Cyrus, Britney Spears.
That wasn't that weird.
That was fine.
You're okay with that?
Yeah
but this was her brother.
Yeah.
So that,
you know, that makes it more weird. Yeah, true.
Jolie's brother, James, or Jamie, I believe as he was called at the time, attached the Oscars with her.
Attached his lips to hers.
Right. Attended the Oscars with hers and then attached lips. They were showed that they were closer than your average siblings. The two shared a kiss on the lips, and people felt that it was incestuous. A family friend gave some insight on the scene by saying the day she kissed Jamie at the Oscars, it was the first day that her mom had been treated for cancer.
So
they left
what?
The hospital
so
together. They got ready together.
So that makes you kiss?
Yeah, I don't buy.
No.
I'm sorry her mom was going through that, but that doesn't.
I mean, to give your brother like a really big hug and.
Yeah, because you need support.
Right.
You don't make out with your brother
right.
for support.
You should
yeah,
not.
That's weird.
You should not.
Well,
I remember. I remember they showed Woody Allen and Sun Yi in the audience. And they were like, "Ugh, what are you doing?"
Too soon.
It's been years.
18 years ago, Wendy.
That's still too soon.
Still too soon.
But she's done a lot of things. Remember, she had Billy Bob Thornton's blood around her neck and a little vial.
Yes.
What was Brad Pitt thinking?
I don't like them together. I want Brad Pitt and Jennifer to get back
together.
That's coming.
Wendy, you're getting your wish.
Because I know he showed up at her 50th surprise party.
Yep. Yep.
Who's the Rona Barrett now?
You're out Rona Barretting me. I have to try harder now.
Was she local or was she Hollywood?
Rona Barrett was in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same haircut as you, Bill.
For a while.
Which is not a compliment
by
to
design.
Her.
That's by design. For a while, she was the co-host on The Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder.
Oh, you're right.
And they hated each other.
I could see where that would happen.
Oh, it was so crazy. It was so crazy because Tom Snyder's just plain great. He was so wonderful.
But he wouldn't take crap from anyone.
He didn't need Rona Barrett. Nope.
I can't do it.
No, that was pretty good. All right. This is an easy one, Wendy. I'll throw it your way. In 2001, who came to the Academy Awards dressed in a swan dress?
Bjork.
Yes.
Why was she at the Academy Awards?
Maybe she had best song or something?
Well, that's a good question.
I don't think she did.
She just wanted to wear the dress. She needed a place to wear it.
You spend money on an ostrich dress, you got to show it off.
It was a swan.
Swan dress.
She looked like an ostrich.
She did. She looked more ostrichy than swanny. People were stunned when Bjork walked the red carpet in a frilly swan dress, and even more so when she strategically laid 6 ostrich eggs on the red carpet.
It does not say that.
It does.
Did she do that?
I don't remember that part at all.
That might have been like before it was on TV, but
that's pretty funny.
Prior to the show airing.
Maybe. We didn't see that on the red carpet special.
I wonder if Jamie and Angelina Jolie ate those eggs and maybe it messed with their sense of judgment. I don't know if it was the same year or not.
Scrambled their brain.
The now infamous dress is honored in the Museum of Modern Art. We should all go see that.
Really?
I saw it.
Wendy, here's a moment you and I talked about earlier this week. See how much of this you remember. When Adrian Brody won his Academy Award for The Pianist, what did he do? Do you
remember?
He gave a passionate kiss
to
Halle Berry, who was the presenter, and it stunned her. She was not expecting that. After announcing that Brody had won Best Actor for his performance in The Pianist, Halle Berry was swept off her feet when he came to accept. Brody passionately kissed her on live TV, and before she had a chance to say no. In an interview, she said that the kiss wasn't planned, and the entire time she was thinking, what the beep is happening? You could tell, you could see it in her face.
Well,
she did not expect that.
Yeah.
You got to ask Halle Berry's permission. I have found that to be true.
You're speaking from experience, huh?
Yeah. Whenever I would kiss any girl, like when I was in high school, or I would always, I would call Halle Berry and I'd say,
is this okay?
You know Jennifer, the girl in my science class, I'm thinking about kissing her. And she'd go, I'd wait another week. What happened in 2009 when Jennifer Aniston had to present an... Oh, this already explains it. In 2009, Jennifer Aniston had to present an award in front of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. I didn't think about it at the time, but then I thought about it later when I read about it.
Jen doesn't care.
I don't know.
She doesn't.
You don't think so? She's above it?
Yeah. She doesn't need
5 years after their divorce, Jennifer Aniston was forced to present an Oscar in front of Pitt and his girlfriend at the time, Angelina Jolie. She was noticeably uncomfortable about the whole thing, it says.
I don't
So are you saying that they were in the audience when she was presenting, or they were like, they were all standing on stage?
They were lined up backstage, ready to go on next, because after she presented an award, the next presenters were Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. So you think if you're the coordinator of that show, you have to look at the names. It's like if you're putting together seating at a wedding reception and you go, well, those guys used to be married and now they're not. I can't put them at the same table. So it was whoever was the coordinator. It's their mistake. In 2011, boy, I remember this. I can't believe this was 8 years ago, when James Franco and Anne Hathaway hosted the Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing was just awkward.
Awful.
That might be the last time I watched the show,
Is that true?
Its entirety.
Because of that?
It was bad.
So bad. And I like both of them.
I do. I like him.
You don't like Anne Hathaway?
I'm really hoping for a good Oscars because the Grammys were so good.
Yeah.
They were fantastic this
year.
Yeah,
they were so good.
Yep.
So the Oscars has a lot to live up
to. They have a lot to beat.
And I had given up on the Grammys as well.
Me too.
But it won me back this year. I don't know why. I started watching the red carpet and I'm like, I may as well check it out.
You stuck with it?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I only saw about 5 or 10 minutes. Just because... It's one of those things where I feel so out of touch. There's so many people on there who I don't know. And the crowd goes wild for them. And I go, I should probably know who
that
is.
I always listen to it to get new music.
Janelle Monáe is my new girl.
Yeah, she's great.
Because of that?
Yeah. I mean, I really felt like I was able to introduce myself to new music.
Her and Casey Musgraves. I'd heard Casey Musgraves before, but I hadn't heard that song before. It was just amazing. But we digress. Back to the Oscars.
Okay, back to the Oscars. Already in progress. Who did Sacha Baron Cohen throw ashes on in 2012, Wendy?
I can't remember.
Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, well, who wouldn't have?
Cohen appeared in character as Admiral General Aladdin from his movie The Dictator on the red carpet during the 2012 Oscars, carrying a golden urn filled with ashes.
I kind of remember that.
While interviewing with Ryan Seacrest, Cohen, a.k.a. Aladdin, accidentally spilled the ashes all over Seacrest, who was presumably upset about the ordeal.
I don't know that they were real ashes, but there was a lot of them.
Yeah,
it's not like it was just a little sprinkle. It was a mess. I remember that.
I kind of vaguely do.
Here's a quick question you may or may not remember. In 2012, what did Angelina Jolie proudly show off several times during the broadcast?
Well, I would have two guesses on that one.
Three. Her engagement ring?
Her leg.
Oh, was that the slit?
She had a dress that was
slit. Yeah, remember when she did that weird pose?
Yeah. And I also remember one of the screenwriters who won the Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay, Jim something, I can't think of his last name. He wrote the movie, you know the movie where George Clooney is on the island in Hawaii? The Descendant.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Really good movie.
Yeah.
So he's one of the guys who wrote it. So when they won the Academy Award, he and his writing partners for The Descendants, he went and he stood exactly like Angelina Jolie with his leg out. And never explained it, but he was making fun of her.
Alexander Payne?
No, he directed it and co-wrote it with this guy.
Nat Faxon or Jim Rash?
Jim Rash.
I'd like to be a quick Googler.
Very quick Googler.
You are a good Googler.
Here's the one you mentioned a little earlier, Jennifer Lawrence taking a tumble on the stage.
Oh, I felt so bad for
her.
She handled it great, though.
Yeah, she did.
I thought she did.
She did.
I worry about that all the time, and I really worried about that at the Grammys, because these presenters are wearing these stiletto heels, and it's like, dude,
very tough.
One little thing.
I worry about it a lot, too, at the Golden Globes, because they're already drinking.
And the long dresses.
Yeah.
On her way to the stage to accept the Best Actress Award for her role in Silver Linings Playbook, Lawrence tripped on the stairs. After hanging her head for a second, she went and gave her speech and collected her Oscar. Then, the very next year, on the red carpet, she did it again, making it 2 years in a row that she's fallen, but this time she nearly took somebody else down with her. That was during the red carpet before the awards. Do you remember Seth MacFarlane's song about breasts in 2013?
I know I'm probably one of the few, but I am not a fan.
Of Seth MacFarlane?
He's got a better voice. It's just shocking. It's not funny.
Right.
All his shows are like saying things just to get the wow factor out of you.
Yeah.
But there's no punch. It's not funny to me.
Jimmy Pardo, frequent guest on the show, describes every episode of Family Guy as the same thing. Two hysterically funny jokes and 506 that don't work. Do you agree with that?
I like Stewie.
Yeah, I do too.
That's twisted, you guys.
I will say this. There's way more bestiality jokes on that show than I'm comfortable with.
True.
It's really strange how many they get away with.
And just the weird guy who is a molester that's in there.
Yeah.
How is that funny?
I know.
Even if he had a good line, it wouldn't be funny.
Here's one I don't remember at all. This is the only one that for some reason has just evaporated from my brain. When John Travolta was weird with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, I thought what you were going to say, he said Adele Dazeem. Was she standing there with him?
No, didn't he kiss her or something?
Oh, maybe.
Despite Johansson's captured reaction in a photo, the actress said that John Travolta's Oscar kisses were more than acceptable.
Year was that?
2014. Not that long ago.
Yeah. He did what Adrian Brody did to Halle Berry, kind of.
Did he? Why can't I remember that at all?
Because I think we're all, the Adele Dazeem overshadows it. Yeah.
Well, that's their next moment, when John Travolta didn't know how to say Idina Menzel's name. When he introduced the Frozen star back in 2014, Travolta either didn't know how to say Menzel's name or had some sort of a bit planned. Either way, he pronounced her name as Adele Dazeem in a weird accent, and people were confused. Now, his explanation for it the next day is that he has a form of dyslexia, and he was able to read the cards, but once it got to the part where his name was, it was written in a different color, and it somehow triggered his dyslexia.
I would believe that. And you know what? It's a name that...
Joe Smith.
Right. It's not that easy to pronounce, could see where you could get messed up.
I guess so, although those guys... They rehearse. It's not the first time they're seeing it.
Travolta does not rehearse.
Oh no, they bring the presenters all come in and rehearse. They have a rehearsal date beforehand.
I don't believe you.
They do. They definitely do.
All these celebrities would come in and do a rehearsal.
Yeah.
I don't see.
No.
I got to find out if that's true.
I've seen like on Entertainment Tonight where they show parts of it where people come in early, and then in the crowd they have giant posters of everybody's face and names so that you know who's sitting where if you want to address somebody or if you're the host so you can make fun of somebody because you know they're sitting right over there. It's not
Travolta's not coming in for
rehearsal. You don't think he would?
John Travolta.
Here's another magic moment involving John Travolta. When she, meaning Idina Menzel, got back at John Travolta the next year. The following year, Menzel got payback and pronounced John Travolta's name as Glom Gazimo.
Yeah, that could have been funnier.
He then proceeded to oddly touch her face a lot, making us feel even more uncomfortable. I don't remember that.
He's got a track record. It's not a good one.
Here's another one I don't remember. When Sean Penn made a green card joke. Oh, I do remember this. This is very awkward. Sean Penn really angered people when he announced the winner for Best Picture, and that was Birdman. That's the part that upset me, because Birdman wasn't the best movie, by far.
It wasn't.
It was the worst movie of the year.
I never saw it. Everybody said it was terrible.
I liked it, but it just wasn't fulfilling. Can I just say that?
Couldn't stand it.
You didn't like it at all?
No, I hated it.
I liked it, but it was not fulfilling.
Before he called the name, he joked, "Who gave the son of a beep a green card?" Referring to Mexican director, the Mexican director who won the award. The people accused Penn of being a racist and offensive, but the backstory is that those guys knew each other for a long time.
So
he was saying it as a joke.
Him.
Yeah. The backstory is that they've been friends for years.
Yeah, but how is the Nobody TV audience supposed to know that?
Right. Now, the more awkward moment with Sean Penn, and I don't know that it's in here, is when the year that Chris Rock hosted, he did some joke about Jude Law. How come every movie I see has Jude Law in it? Who's Jude Law? Why is Jude Law getting all the parts, right? It was just a joke. And then 3 hours later, when Sean Penn took to the stage, he goes, I just want to let our Oscar host know that Jude Law is one of the most talented actors working today. Mm-hmm. Like, totally not getting that he was just joking about
right.
it. We knew who Jude Law
right.
was. You don't have to stay.
Sort of like how Jimmy Kimmel does
With Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Yeah, it was the same kind of thing. We all knew who Jude Law was. You don't have to teach us that, Sean. Thanks anyway.
He just wanted to be sure. I thought it was an apology because someone said you better apologize to him.
Oh, maybe.
That's what I took it as.
Is that the whole list?
No, there's a bunch more.
Oh, because I was going to say, to me, one of the biggest ones is, you know, announcing that La La Land won when they didn't.
Oh, that's the worst. That was the worst.
I mean, that
ever.
Was awkward.
2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that's not on the list.
I'm going through the rest of them. Kim, it is not on the list.
Wow. That's shocking.
And that's probably the most embarrassing moment
embarrassing
in the history.
Embarrassing and horrible. And, yeah.
Right. But to Jimmy Kimmel's credit, he kind of handled it well.
He handled that amazingly well.
Yeah.
He's one of the best persons to have handled that, I
right.
think.
And also when Jimmy Kimmel got the, you know, tourist that the guy was a felon
was
from
funny.
Chicago,
right.
That was great. But
Awkward. That
kind of backfired.
Right. All right, we will take a quick break. Kim, thank you for hanging out.
Thanks, Kim.
We'll say goodbye
in
a little bit. Thanks, Kim.
All right, those are our Sunday go to meeting music.
What meeting is held on a Sunday? I can't go to a meeting on a Sunday.
Sunday go to meeting clothes.
I can't. I don't have any.
From the Blues Brothers.
Can't go to the meeting.
I always think of the Blues Brothers every day when I'm on Lower Wacker with my sunglasses on.
Yep. Yep. Boys
You're the
and
only
girls.
One who doesn't like that movie, too. Let's start that up. Not a fan.
I don't.
That's all right.
I don't.
Hey, you know what? To each his own. That's what makes this crazy world go
but
around.
People get mad at you. That's one of the things that if you admit to people, they get mad at you for
you
not
know,
liking it.
I could see people going, well, what are you saying? But then you move
I've
on.
I've tried to like it. I've seen it a bunch of times. I don't know why I don't like it.
I love it. It's all right, Bill. I'm not going to blow you any stuff.
All right. Thank you for that.
And leave Bill Leff alone.
Please leave me alone. I'm like Greta Garbo, Wendy. I want to be alone. I say with a stilted German accent for no reason.
Call me Wendy then. You want to be alone.
I will have to. All right, but hey, thanks for listening. That's the bottom line here. Thank you so much for listening. We're thrilled that you were part of today's presentation and hope that you'll join us again on Monday. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.